When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
I'm here again. I made it back to ye old pop at the crossroads of popcorn and culture.
For some reason, and I have no idea why, when you describe it like that, the culture that comes to mind is like bacteria cultures
This is what's wrong with the popcorn you're eating. I was having popcorn last night. My newest favorite thing to do is to add M&Ms to it, which I know is a long-standing tradition amongst many a popcorn fan.
Do the M&Ms not just like trickle their way all the way down to the bottom?
Absolutely they do. And while they're on top, they're impossible to grab because of the popcorn's naturally craggly shape.
Craggly shape? Oh, yeah. Good description of the shape. Yeah.
Really, I'm still experimenting with what is the best way to do it. Maybe regular M&Ms aren't the way. Maybe you want like a wider M, as it were, so that it doesn't like filter down so quickly. Or maybe it's just like encouragement to get to the bottom because then you can actually find them.
Or it's like it's not salty and sweet. It's just salty first and then sweet.
Salty first and then sweet. Or maybe what you actually want to do is have like a side cup of M&Ms that you can like pick one up and then go over. But like you can't have just a package of M&Ms because the idea of having the bowl and the package and having to like finagle out a single M&M and then going in there it's a complicated. Their textures are so differing.
I feel like what you're almost like circling the drain on is like movie theater charcuterie.
Oh my God. Right? Yes.
You know, because like the whole idea is like when you get a charcuterie board, the goal is to like take some of the meat samples that you have with some of the cheese samples that you have with some of the cracker or
maybe
spreads.
Some pickled things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some weird stuff you've never seen before, stuff with cultures in it.
Purpose. Yeah. You know, like the good kind.
This is
gut health.
We are somehow barreling toward actual popcorn cultures.
Yes, I know. Yeah. I feel like what would actually be really cool. So eventually I feel like you and I will just come to own a movie theater. It feels like, you know, as many different possible trajectories that
possible.
Well, yeah. Good save. Yeah. That have trickled through my brain over the years because, you know, you look at the whole like equation and you're sort of like, not that I would be opposed to this particular scenario, but the question is like when we are like 55, you know, is there a chance that we're still saying, hey brother, is there a chance that we're still like, you know, like deep diving in the Harry Potter books or, you know, dissecting Disney movies or, you know, looking for A113 in a Pixar movie or something? Like, it's possible.
It sure is.
That is potentially just what the future holds. But sometimes I'm like, you know, it would be really fun if we, you know, like owned a movie theater and just like really tried to like reinvigorate what it meant to go to the movies.
And we can have Pop Shootery.
Yes.
Great name.
Pop Shootery. So I think what has a great name.
Because, I mean, there's nothing. I mean, there's many a night where Beth and I have just sat down with a charcuterie board and watched a movie.
Of course.
But this would be like a more what I'm imagining is an experience tailored to the traditional movie experience. So it's more popcorn centric to begin with.
I think it certainly needs to be, but like, you know, a lot of times I will go to the movie theater counter and like, you know, like one of the things, you know, I think that some people get burned by is like how expensive like all the snacks and stuff are at the movie theater. And I just don't care. Like that's like one of those things where I feel like not that it's not like gouging you, like it 100% is.
Yeah.
Like that's, I wouldn't combat that. It's mostly just to me, like at this point in time, like I just sort of like expect it, you know, it's like ingrained into what I feel like the movie theater.
Right, like I anticipated this as part of going to the movies.
Yeah. Like I plan for the additional cost of concessions and just sort of know what those will be. Like I'm not surprised at this point in time that it costs like, you know, $12 for a large bucket of popcorn. Mm. It's just sort of like what it's going to be. However, you know, a lot of times for me, I'll get up there to like the candy counter and I'll be like, gosh, you know, like when I was a kid, I really liked getting like the chocolate covered cookie dough bites or like, yeah. You know, but then there's also like Junior Mints, which are like still chocolate flavored, but like a completely different experience with like mint versus just like pure sweetness with the cookie dough. But then there's like Sour Patch Kids. And I'm like, you know, I would not mind some Sour Patch Kids
today. Wouldn't mind.
Because like I never mind Sour Patch Kids because they're always great, you know? And so like you're looking at like the available lineup. I feel like obliged to say like Twizzlers or Red Vines as well, because I know people love
just Twizzlers. No one would forget, you know, no one's going to be upset if you leave out Red Vines.
Oh, good.
The far inferior product.
Sure. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like strong opinion that certainly nobody will combat whatsoever.
No one will combat. Everyone agrees Twizzlers are better than Red Vines. And then there will be some people who are like, they're not even licorice, and be like, I know, but like we're only comparing Twizzlers versus Red Vines. Okay. Just forget the rest of the world of licorice. It's just a battle between clearly there's better licorice out there, okay? Right.
Yeah.
This is the battle. You want either this like waxy, gross textured doofus thing or Twizzlers.
Wow,
you know,
use of doofus. In no way did I expect that term to be brought up in this conversation. But
this
you
is
did
what
it,
happens.
And well done. I applaud you.
Thank you.
So anyway,
if we can't have strong opinions about the, you know, popcorn accompaniment on popcorn culture, then I don't know what we're doing on this show.
That's a good point. This is the place. So like, you know, like a lot of times, like when you're in like Facebook arguments and stuff like that, it's like, is this really like the time or the place or the setting or the venue,
right,
you know, for such discussions? Like,
right.
Like, why don't you guys go and like sit in front of like a nice scenic landscape and discuss this so that you can be reminded of the good in the world while you combat the bad of the world. But all I'm really trying to say though is that like this idea of the pop shootery board, as you've now affectionately named it, that I will now forever like love and endear, is that I actually have like, it's like the answer to the question that I've always I've always wanted, which is that I don't want to have to choose, but like if given the opportunity for $20 to get like a like medium sized pile of popcorn with then like a little ring around the top of the bucket that then has like, you know, like a dozen Sour Patch Kids to be provided, you know, that like I could munch on, and like, you know, a handful of peanut M&Ms to be able to be munched upon. Like that's all we're talking here. Like, it's like, I don't need necessarily the whole jumbo bag that they're going to sell, but what I want is a little bit of everything.
What you need is, I'm imagining some sort of tray. Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That has like a particular, like, it's almost like a muffin tin, maybe.
A muffin tin can
like
work.
Like a muffin tin type tray. So there's lots of little indention things so stuff isn't falling off as you're like watching the movie.
Right.
You need like a particularly big spot where the popcorn's going to go.
That's what I mean. Because
that's going to take place. Yeah. And then you could have all the other little things just filled with the rest of your whatever you want to match with the popcorn.
Precisely.
Exactly.
Precisely. Yeah. And like, I mean, this would be something that I would order 11 out of 10 times in the movie theater.
Oh my gosh. Provided. Right.
Yeah.
All right. Take notes, Regal or AMC or whatever movie theater is near you.
Right. Exactly. Any of them are fine. You know, if even one company picks up our idea and runs with it, you don't even have to pay us for it. You can just have it for free.
You can just have it, although trademark pop shootery. So,
but yeah, exactly. Yeah. Please use the name. That's our one request.
Right.
I feel like that's like the ultimate in the movie theater going experience, is that like at this point in time, and realistically, maybe that's like what it is. Like I spoke about the nostalgia of the chocolate covered cookie dough bites, which I did like as a child.
Yeah. I used to get the it was like crunch bites or something.
They're like little crunch candy bar nuggets. Bunch of crunch.
That's exactly what it was called.
Yeah.
Wow. What a throwback.
Thanks.
I don't think they do them anymore.
Maybe they don't. That and Butterfinger BBs.
Butterfinger BBs.
And
the Bart Simpson commercials.
They did. And it's like one of those things where it's like, how do those things become like conjoined like that?
No idea.
Yeah. But they did.
In my mind, it always made sense because the Simpsons are yellow and butter is yellow. And I was like, this is clearly the cross. This is the Venn diagram of why Bart Simpson, whose name also starts with B, mixes with Butterfinger BBs.
Bart's Butterfinger BBs.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair enough.
This was the reasoning of like 10-year-old me for why it all made sense.
Right. Yeah. That's hilarious. So now I'm going to transition nicely into my next topic here because we have the new pop editor, Isabel, of course.
Yeah.
Who I feel like has stampeded clean into the office and like just basically like marked us all very quickly.
Oh, you think so?
I think so.
I don't feel marked so far.
Oh, you haven't been marked.
Not that I am aware of.
Okay. Well, then I suspect the moment she hears this,
I know. Now I'm like, now she's editing this. So it's like Mark incoming.
Yeah. It's like, I could see her like taking her headphones off, setting them down, being like cracks knuckles and into the workplace chat. Here we go. a couple of interesting things. One is that she is a member of Gen Z, as it were, which there's this like fascinating. So I feel like I've asked her a bunch of questions like in the first week that she's been here, because there is this like a general observation that I feel like I've picked up on, which is this like kind of bizarre valley that can exist on either your shoulder generations, basically. Like, so she falls into Gen Z, which makes her like too old to like be, you know, like in child territory, like where I could be like observing the culture of her generation as like, you know, a parent type of position.
Right. She's not in the same generation as Addie or Luke.
Exactly. Correct. Yeah. So like, you know, both of whom are in Gen Alpha, you know, which we'll be able to, you know, then probably have some small measure or handle on, you know, like, what is important to that group of people, because we'll literally watch them and probably aid them in developing that sense of identity in terms of like the things that they aspire to, the places they want to go, the things that are important to them, the things they ask for Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, like we'll probably, you know, play a hand in that type of thing. But then on the flip end of the spectrum as well is going to be Gen X, which is what comes before the millennial generation that you and I reside in.
Right.
And similarly, the exact same relationship I have is that I don't know that many Gen Xers out in the wild, because for the exact same reason, like they are so close in age as to not be my parents,
right?
You know, which our parents are, you know, boomers. And so it's like, as a result of that, I feel like I have a better sense of the identity of boomers because I've also been able to witness it as a child and
watch. You saw your parents and your parents' friends and stuff.
Precisely. Yeah. Like the things that were important to them and the activities that they engaged in, and like the ways that they differ from like even like their own parents. So it's fascinating because you're surrounded by these groups of people to your left and to your right in terms of like how we're all progressing through life and these like little zeitgeist related moments that we're like all engaging in as like our sort of like uniform collectives of our generations. And yet like I have very little to go off of. So I feel like I've been asking her a bunch of questions, just trying to get like her perspective, because for me, I'm like, this is a rare opportunity for me to like to genuinely like ask somebody questions and sort of see the world through their eyes.
It's interesting. I think, I wonder if like part of this comes from like the nature of like our office, because it occurs to me that like if you were at like a maybe more traditional like office space or something, like when you enter the office, there's probably people there who are around one generation above you.
That like, seems
a
very,
lot. And, yeah. And the longer you're there, the more people will filter in from the generation immediately below you.
Yes.
Or something like that. Or like,
so we have a small sample size of people that we're interacting. Yeah.
Or even like my brother-in-law is like, a youth coordinator at a church. So he's around like tons of Gen Z people all the time.
Right. You know? Okay. So yeah. he's
right there in it, you know.
He can like pick up on some of like the ends.
I remember we were there one time and him and his wife were telling us, we were like, what kind of music are you guys listening to now? And they were telling us this about this completely undiscovered person called Billie Eilish, and I was like, never heard of them. He sounds like a real up and comer.
Oh man.
And it's like one of those things where it's like, you know, like sure enough, like 1 year later, you're like, man, if I had just listened to Daniel when he was talking about Billie Eilish a year ago, I could have been so in the know. And instead, I was like, whatever, you don't know what you're talking about, you know?
right. Yeah.
Never heard of them.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, 1 year later, like, man, oh, wow. I could have been on the cutting edge.
The same thing. Oh my gosh. We used to go on these vacations with Beth's family down to this like big house in Florida, and like her cousin, like girlfriend had like a teenage daughter who would have been in like the Gen Z range. And
okay. Yep.
This was in like 2015, 2016 or something.
Sure.
And I remember being down there and her being like all over this app. Maybe you've heard of it, TikTok.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, I've just never even like, what is it like dance videos? And it's like, she tried to explain it to us so many times and it was just like, I don't know, this newfangled thing. Yeah. And it's like, oh yeah, TikTok. I've heard of it.
I know.
It's like, ugh. He's like, so obviously you have to listen to the young people, man. They know.
No, they absolutely do. Yeah. I mean, and to be fair, like I'm talking about this as if it's like the first time it's ever happened. Like we have discovered micro generations, like gaps between ourselves and Ethan, the podcast editor who is now editing through the Gryffindor as well. So Ethan's still here just for what it's worth, but he's just doing a different project. But Snapchat, I think, would fall into that one very neatly, which I know that we've talked about before. And
I know we have.
Like, TikTok is interesting because I feel like eventually I figured out TikTok. Eventually I realized, I was like, okay, like I know what this app is now. I have like engaged with this app. I have probably spent too much time on it. And then sort of all at once sort of let go of all social media altogether. So now I'm not on any of it. But, you know, like for somewhere along the way, I finally like I discovered the appeal of TikTok and was like, wow, people are not wrong. This is super fun.
Yeah.
The thing I never discovered the appeal of was Snapchat.
Me like, neither. Like I tried and I was just like, I don't understand how it's better than texting or like, and that was, it was like, oh yeah, that's how I message my friends. It's like, but you have a built in messaging function.
Right. Yes.
Like, I don't get it. And it's like, oh, but no, it's like you take a picture and then they go away. And it's like, but like the pictures I would watch people take would just be like, and they do this like either they point it like at the wall and do it. And it's just like, it's just an extra step you have to do now to like send the message.
No, I know. You know? But I would imagine at some point in time, people were like, had this feeling towards like text messaging.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Where like, they were like, it's
just
like,
call them.
Just pick up the phone and call them, talk to them with your voice.
It's
like,
yeah,
that's easier than, especially back in the day when we had like the numeric keyboards.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't like, you know, like what we have on iPhones or modern day smart devices where you type on a QWERTY keyboard. You know, it's like, instead you were literally doing like 3-3-3-4-4. 999, you know, and the,
yeah,
you know, that's how you're saying like individual messages, which even that though is like, it was so interesting to me how quickly I just learned how to do it and did not think twice about it. It was the exact same as typing. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
it's just like one of those skills where you're just like, once you start doing it, it's like, this is not hindering me at all.
Not really that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, yeah. So it's been fun. It's been fascinating. But so the other thing that I have found to be particularly interesting about new girl Isabel in the office is that I feel like right away she was kind of going through and like figuring out like boiling down our personalities into ingots, essentially.
You
very
think so?
Yeah. Very quickly. Yeah, I think so. I think she was so, like, you know, on day three, she's like, Ben, what I'm hearing is that you're afraid. Ben, what I'm hearing is that after 3 days of being in this office, you're afraid of just about everything.
She did say that, and it was the funniest thing that's happened all year.
Yes. Yeah, so, I know. And I went home and I told Alice and she died laughing.
Which, for the record, me and Ethan were also bent over. I couldn't breathe laughing.
Yes, yes. So no, that's what I mean. You yeah. got yours coming. Don't yeah, you worry.
I'm sure.
Yeah, no, it's sure. on its way. Yeah. You will be marked. But no, so it was sort of fascinating because just this past weekend, like, you know, I've talked a lot about, like, you know, I do this with you all the time, and I know that about like once every like 4 months you're gonna have to deal with me try to self-diagnose some type of like new related like, oh my gosh, I just found a new thing and I read all the descriptions and all those descriptions perfectly describe me and everything to do with how I've always functioned in the world. And now that I know, I'll be able to fix all of them and I'll feel so much better.
Right.
But I also know that I've been through this iteration, like, you know, 17 times and
just live your life, man.
Case and point is the pop itself, where I've now like ruthlessly documented all of these various, you know, like,
I know.
Like,
yeah. Whenever we get to what's our eventual pop review show,
popcorn recultured,
which sounds even more like bacteria growth.
It sure does. Yeah. Because we will have more bacteria. Yeah,
you're going to have this like whole new cycle of like, I was really, what if I was right about this problem about myself, and you're gonna like you're gonna send yourself back down like a brand new fresh set of the cycle.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Great, that'd be fun. I'm looking forward to that at age 65.
Yeah, great, cool, yeah. cool.
Also, guys, be sure to go and subscribe now too. Yeah, Pop Farm Meat Culture. Be the first.
Woo! Maybe you're listening. If you're listening to this episode of the Pop in 2065, boy, let us know. No, I'm really excited.
Yeah. Well, 2055 probably would be closer. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean,
Right. Yeah. I mean, that would be closer to us being 65.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Right. 2055.
Yeah. That's the other thing. I won't sidetrack myself too much here, but that's the other thing I always think is fascinating is like, back to the tune of like, you know, will we be doing this again, you know, like 20 years from now, or will we be still dissecting theories and stuff, is also the question of it's like in Coco where they experience like the second death.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of like what you're witnessing is essentially like someone who has made it to like the land of the dead, where they have then existed for, you know, time and time and time and time, as like their family has left, you know, memories of this particular person on their ofrenda. And you're sort of like watching like Hector, you know, Miguel's, I guess, grandfather.
Yeah.
You know, experience sort of like the early reverberations of essentially not being remembered out in the real world, which is, you know, obviously kind of sad to think about. But the question for me is ultimately like, what will be the day that the last SCB video has ever like no new views happened?
Oh boy, that's what a sad thought.
I know.
What a sad thought.
You do, yeah. Social media is second death.
Yeah. Oh no.
It's yeah. What a brand new thing.
Oh goodness. Yeah. Something to consider. But man. Okay. So anyway, Isabel said you were afraid. You were just afraid.
Just afraid. Yeah.
Talk to me about, like, what your internal reaction to all of this was to like telling Alice and all that.
Well, so the thing that I stumbled across over the weekend, and I'm trying so hard to remember what it was that I was like consuming that sort of like sent me down the path of examining this particular thought, but it was essentially just the basic fear of failure. And you know, I came across the term a tichophobia, okay. which is basically the fear of failing at anything. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because it can apply to just like a myriad of different circumstances.
Right.
You know, so like there could be instances like where you stay in a relationship, because to not stay in the relationship would mean to have failed in that endeavor as a whole. And so as an alternative to failing in the relationship, you instead choose to just stay in it otherwise,
despite that being its own version of failure.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And then you're like probably trying to dissect which one is marked as the failure more specifically than the other. And so like, you know, as with anything else, as I start to like then replay my life through this new lens, which this was the discovery that I had like the night before Isabel's first day in office. So when she said this 3 days later, I was sort of like, gosh, that was like dangerously close to literally like the full embodiment of like where my mental processes have been mm-hmm. for the past, you know, 72 hours.
Right.
So it's probably one of two things. Like on one level, it's probably the case that like, because I had this like measure of like whatever, I'm sure that it was then coming through sort of subconsciously in the way that I was talking about all of the different mm-hmm. aspects yeah. of my personality, because it was extremely fresh on my mind. So basically I feel like she did hit the nail on the head essentially as to what I had been thinking about for several days. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, like, you know, there's a part of me that can like look back at my entire life and be like, I know that I have also faced rather massive fears. Mm-hmm. Over and over and over and over again. I feel like just because I have been afraid to do lots of things has not always prevented me from doing them anyway.
Yeah.
Which I think, you know, is at least partially reassuring. It's like, I don't think that I have like let myself be fully, you know, like stuck in terms of in this embodiment or whatever. But the biggest thing that I think that stood out to me as a couple of examples here. One was going back to our early rock climbing days. And I know I've sort of told the story before, but the short version of it is that you and Beth had gotten into rock climbing. And here in Roanoke, we have a fantastic climbing gym. It's like even as like, this is like one of those things where like Roanoke's kind of a small town, but like, even as I've gone to like other cities and gone to their gyms, I have essentially discovered like the one we have is amazing.
It's pretty good. And like by other cities, like other cities that would classify themselves as like outdoor cities.
Outdoor, yeah, like climbing towns even. Right. But this was like one of those invitations that I basically was like, no, I don't want to do that. Like, you know, and it was strange because, you know, we talked before, but like the one thing that I can physically excel at is just pull-ups. And if there is like a sport more designed for somebody good at pull-ups, it's rock climbing.
Yeah, you for know, sure.
It's like that is like the precipice of where that skill could be directly applied. But looking at this new activity and my fear of sort of like, I mean, you compare it into like fear of the unknown a bit. But it's also like, I'm worried that if I show up and I am not good at it, then it will like, you know, negatively impact others' perceptions of me, you know, like this could go poorly.
Right.
But what I ultimately discovered was that, you know, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go anyway. Like I need to go and like step into the, like they've invited me. I'd like to go. I'll give it a shot. You know, we'll see how it goes.
Right.
And basically what discovered was that it was like one of my favorite things that I have ever done in my life.
Right.
Like, I mean, I don't know if I've ever had such an aggressive attachment to any other physical sport.
Right.
And it was like, if not for you guys going first, I never would have discovered it.
Right.
And that recognition is like one of those things where like when you are afraid to do something, it's like sometimes on the other end of the curtain, like on the other side is the best thing that could happen to you.
Right.
But like, you don't know that until you go back there and look.
Right.
And that can be extremely scary. So this fear of failure, like, you know, then when you start to assess it, you're like, man, how many things have I been too worried to try out of fear, you know, that something would go wrong, but then also could potentially be ultimately missing out on
right.
as something that like I would truly enjoy. So the other big thing that has now happened in the past couple of weeks is that one of like Alice's friend's husbands had invited me to join his band. Oh. Which is one of those things. Earlier this year, I talked
about. He's not a pop listener.
Might not be a pop listener. I can't be sure, but you know, if you're listening, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. Which I'm flattered, by the way. Thank you for the invitation. Earlier this year, I talked about my purchase of my guitar.
Yeah.
Which has been like one of these things that like I've actually gotten quite a few messages from people about, and like there's sort of an. It's exactly like growing out the beard like we talked about before, or like doing the April Fool's Day tattoo where it's like sometimes I do things like, haha, this will be funny. Like that way I can like almost get a sense for like what it might feel like, but I can do it under the guise of like lower pressure, lower stakes. Yeah. Like I'm not going all in at once. I'm sort of being like, haha, I'll do this April Fool's Day like tattoo. But then like, what will people say? You know, like what's the feedback? Like, what, like, do I feel like this is a good idea? Like, can I take it that next step further? And sometimes I think this is just how I go about making decisions, like sort of like dip a toe in. I find a way to like get a partial experience without putting too much pressure on myself.
Right. And
I also know that it works for me. Like, this is just like a way that like I can progress my interest in an activity and feel better about like how I'm going about it, like taking some stakes off of the table. And so the purchase of the guitar was like major step number one. Like, you know, it was sort of like I got it into my house. I leave it in a prominent position. It is like constantly before me. But like I've still like not been able to then cross the next hurdle to actually pick it up and really properly start doing anything.
Yeah. To like learn how to play it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, you get this invitation to become a part of a band. And as far as I'm concerned, it's like I can't play Hot Cross Buns
right
on my guitar at the moment,
right,
which is like when you start band class in sixth grade, the first thing they ever taught us was Hot Cross Buns. It's three notes.
Yeah,
you know, it is like the simplest like tune that I am aware of to play.
Yeah.
And I currently cannot do that.
Right.
And so, you know, it's like this invitation to join this band is like one of those things where I'm like, you know, and of course, you know, he's like, you know, like, no worries if he doesn't know how to play, like I can teach him, you know. And the like, you know, waves that kind of crash over me.
It's interesting that they would invite someone who doesn't know how to play an instrument to be in a band.
Well, I don't disagree.
Okay.
I don't disagree. But you know, like it could be the type of thing where like, you know, looking for like a like-minded individual, like-minded individual, somebody that fits the vibe, someone that fits the interests, you know, schedule, like, you know, that like also a parent or something. I'm just trying to think of any myriad of reasons that like maybe I would have stood out as somebody
sure.
that like
yeah, yeah.
would be worth an ask. But so I think that for me, you know, as I like sort of receive this, you know, it's like one of those where I'm like, it reminds me of the rock climbing question.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, I can tell you that like from the moment I was asked, my people pleaser nature was like, well, if somebody's asking me for help, I should probably provide them with help.
Yeah.
But the other part of me is like, I don't know anything and this scares me to death.
Right.
But then there's that part of me as well that's sort of like, well, maybe that's a good thing. Like maybe that's like, you know, like one of those nudges where it's sort of like, you wouldn't have got here on your own. Like
right.
you needed Jay and Beth to go to the rock climbing gym first. And in doing so, you know, like that was like what got you there. And so I'm not necessarily saying that like I'm about to join a band. Like I don't feel like I can end this segment of the show by being like, so good news, people. I'm now a proud bass player.
Yeah.
which is the instrument they asked me to play. But you know, I think like it's maybe in part as well, it was like this particular question that sort of like led me to this, why am I so hesitant to be involved? And the very simple answer to that is I don't play an instrument. So
yeah.
going and playing in front of people seems almost like an anxiety dream. Like that's the, like having a dream where you're going to take your final exam for a class that for some reason you didn't go to all semester. You don't know any of the material. And if you don't pass this final exam, then you will like fail out of college
right.
or fail to graduate or something
yeah.
like that. And you're like, oh my gosh, no, like everything's going to be, you know, like whatever. So, from where I sit right now, it's like, I can't even imagine what it would be like to go and try to play because I have never even played in the confines of like the privacy of my own home. Before.
Right. Yeah.
So like, let alone playing in front of people.
In front of people. Yeah. Like,
then who then absolutely know, I have no idea what I'm doing.
I mean, if you're up there playing, the people are going to assume you do know what you're doing.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. That's a good point. So, yeah. so maybe you just get up there and just do like,
just do the thing.
Don't even plug in the guitar.
Yeah. Just, I'm just here standing, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Just like that. No
yeah.
problem.
No problem.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just thought it was very interesting because, Isabel came in and I feel like narrowed in on exactly where my head has been at all week.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
well done, Isabel. You're doing great.
Yeah.
Keep up the good work.
Bravo.
Here we go. Transition.
Transition.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Y'all are likely aware of the fact that we have our very own Shopify store, Carlin Brothers Mercantile, and it's hard to imagine not having it now, but arriving at the decision to open our own web store was a big one. In fact, we started our journey on the interweb back in 2012 and didn't finally open up shop until 2018. And a huge part of that is just not knowing where to start, but that's where Shopify steps in. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, which is a fancy way of saying it's a really easy and effective way to start an online business, no matter if you're operating out of your garage or have like a whole building or three or something. Once we were set up, our biggest concern was trying a new product, only to discover no one was interested in it. But Shopify is powered with so many reports, more than you can even imagine. And this is so handy because it allows us to use data to better provide what folks are actually interested in. It's so easy to use, but even if you do find yourself caught in a jam, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/poppop.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours. Like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more. Made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
Ben, if someone asked you to do something but like used military time to describe it, would you feel like it was more official?
Like, all right, see, just
like
see,
if I'm like,
see, at 1700,
right, exactly. I felt like if mom texted you and said like dinner tomorrow at 6 versus now I'm going to do bath, dinner tomorrow at 1800.
If mom did it, I feel like I would be like, mom, what's up?
So there's that. Yeah. Okay. All right. Imagine, like, let's say Big Steve. Big Steve texts you and says, is there a difference between him saying, Ben, you know, do you and Alice want to get dinner tomorrow at 6, or do you and Alice want to get dinner tomorrow at 1800?
Yeah, interesting question. I can sort of see like a world where I would interpret the information differently, but it's like where my mind immediately goes is just because it would be surprising to me for anyone who I knew to use it. But
that's exactly part of it, though.
Oh, that is part of it. Know, okay, yeah. So
if this is a known, you know, military person, and that every time you talk to them, they're just so used to military time that that's just how they communicate.
Right.
That's not. That would be its own thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to think of
surprise military time. Surprise military time.
Which, in case anybody is unaware, basically is just using like 24 hours versus like a 12-hour sequence. So right. Like, and you know, so like, you know, near midnight is like, you know, 23:59.
Yeah.
And that would be like the time of day for 11:59.
Yeah. It says 2300, but you get to 100 after 60.
2300. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait. 2300, right. But you get to 100 after 60.
You end the. It's always like, yeah, 2300, but like you wouldn't ever have like 2372.
Oh,
because you'd have crossed over to 2400.
I see. What
so you're
the
saying. Next 100 comes every 60.
Yes, that's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I follow now. I was thinking like that. You thought it could be like 8600 o'clock.
There is an example exactly like that in Project Hail Mary, where like there's like I can't even tell you, but that was my Wiki of the Peak is Project Hail Mary because I just reread it again.
Nice.
Yeah. I think he uses the example of 3300 and he's like, someone could say that. And like, I could figure out what they meant.
Yes. That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah. Like, you would be able to understand that basically means like 33 hours from now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or yeah. Anyway.
Or else I guess six, 9 hours past 2400. Yeah.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Right.
What you mean is 9 a.m.
Right. 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 Yeah. Right. 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 Yeah. Yeah. Now we're just getting ourselves properly confused. Yeah.
Everyone's like, you're doing the math. You guys can't do math.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is not a
this
new
is
thing.
Not what the conversation's about.
Okay. So no, here's my thinking. I'm thinking that inside of a group chat, if I had like met like a new batch of comrades, and if somebody was like, hey, we're going to the brewery at 1800, I feel like I would be like, yeah, I'm there. You know, like, yeah. I feel like I would think it was like, I think it would add like some extra like pizzazz. I think it would make it kind of like add some like fun or whimsy, which almost always is the case whenever you add something that is not typically like, you know, your method of communication.
Yeah.
You know, maybe even it would just simply mean to me like, haha, this is a person who does things in a fun way.
Right. Sure.
Which certainly could, you know, attribute to like me being more excited about something in particular. Otherwise, I don't have like a massive relationship with it. Like one way or another. Like, did this come up in your life that you
this
feel
came
like
up? So this was this past weekend I was in there was a group chat and someone said or someone asked if addressed the group like, does anyone want to go like biking at 1500 today?
Okay.
And this would be an unusual use of military time.
Sure.
Yeah, so it was sort of an open question. It was sort of like a vague, it wasn't like I'm going biking at 1500. See you there.
Okay.
It was like a vague thing with a very specific thing on it. And I was the only person to respond. Yes.
Okay.
Right. So, then later in the day, and then that was pretty much it. I was like, I'm down for biking. And I got like a little like thumbs up thing on my text. And I was like, great. I know what I'm doing at 3 today.
Sure, yes.
So, but then I get there and my buddy is still, he's like still planning to come, but he's like just, you know, like running behind late. And like, it's like, you know, I'm looking at my watch and it says, I don't wear a watch. I'm looking at my phone and it says 3:15 and I'm like, where are you at? You know? And again, I text, he's like, oh, are you still down for biking today? And I was like, well, yeah, I'm already here. And he's like, oh boy, you're way ahead of me. I haven't even left the house. And I'm like, well, what? Because like this is like a I know where he lives, and it's like If you left right now, it would take you 30 minutes to get here.
Sure.
You know, so it's just like, well, I guess we're just not going. Basically, I'm not going to sit here for 40 minutes with nothing to do.
Right.
While you get over here.
Sure.
So, but like, and then, you know, I was thinking about it. I was like, should I have like really firmed this up a little solid? Should I have maybe had like a little more of a private chat? Like, so, hey, it's just me and you. Are you absolutely down? But then I was like, thinking, what compelled me to believe that that was enough, like, confirmation, like, yes, we're absolutely going? And I think I dialed it back, and I was like, it was the use of 1500. This is a very official, I will be there at this. Because it was like, it wasn't like a, I will be there, but it was like a, does anyone want to do it at this very exact time?
I understand, you know, where you're coming from with a little bit more context to go off of. Like, it does feel like, at least the outside perception, and obviously, you know, neither of us has ever been in the military, so it's hard to know. But like, it is the perception that, like, you know, if like roll call is at 6, you know, like that means 6, not like 6:07 or like 6:12 or something like that. Like, you know, roughly speaking, as long as you're there, like, you know, about on time, like we'll usually, like, you know, just make sure everybody's there. We'll actually start at 6:30. It's like, it seems like 6 means 6.
Yeah.
Like in a row, in, you know, at attention or whatever.
Right.
Again, at this point in time, I'm literally just making up things I've seen in movies. So if I'm fumbling all over how military life is, then my apologies. But I could sort of see where it does feel like using this particular like mechanism of communicating a time would feel very specific to the time itself.
Right.
I'm also assuming this particular friend doesn't listen to the pop.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Otherwise, you're like, I'm really sorry, man. I didn't make it.
For what it's worth, it's fine. I'm not like upset or anything. I was like, you know, reeling back, and I'm like, I feel like maybe I was like, should I have like, did I make a mistake here? Should I have like shored up the time or like double checked later in the day? Because this all happened at like, you know, 9 in the morning.
Right.
At 900 hours.
I follow.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing that's interesting to me about this, this exchange from my perspective is like, you know, I communicate with you about doing a lot of things.
Yeah.
Because like we're deeply entwined both in our personal lives and professional lives, like, you know, in terms of like work and all the rest. And I would say in text-based format, you are a man of fewer words in general.
There's no doubt.
I would also say that like, it can sometimes be the case that you're like, maybe a bit slower to like finalize a detail. I think I asked you about something this past weekend. Oh, like playing like video games one night. And you know, I had like sent you a message and like, hey, would this be good? And then like, I saw you like 2 days later and I was like, hey, are we doing that? And you were like, oh, I completely forgot to respond. And it was like, oh yeah, all right, no problem. Like,
yeah,
you know, are we doing it? Sounds like maybe.
I know. Well, sometimes it's stuff like that. It's like, I got the text and then it's like, I know that my answer is like, my immediate response is absolutely, let's do it. But the reality is like, I need to like talk to Beth and make sure we're cool with that night and me being out and all of that. And it's like, and I just know I'll see Ben in the morning. So I'll talk about it with Beth and then I'll just see Ben in the morning. Why my brain doesn't go to, I'll talk to Beth and then I'll text Ben immediately,
or right,
let me text Beth right now.
Yes.
Because what I feel like is going to happen is if I text Beth right now, I'm going to get a phone call. And then what I really want to be doing in this moment is not is whatever I was doing.
Right. You know? Right.
Like, I'm always more Saturday morning preoccupied with whatever the task at hand is. And it's like, now I have text from you, which is a perfectly great invitation. And I do want to play video games, but it's like, that's like, I don't want to suddenly be coordinating a bunch of stuff. And it's like, I know the domino effect of texting Beth to figure this out will turn into like a up to 10 minutes of time. Which is like, I was drinking, you know, like, I just want to sit here and like scroll, you know, whatever it is.
Saturday morning cartoons. Yeah, exactly, what I assume you were doing.
Yeah,
this was a Saturday
absolutely
morning.
Sure. Yeah. It could have been. It might have just been sitting there with the kids or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's what happens in my brain in terms of like, yeah, like slow response time sometimes. Like, I know there's several steps, and if I can just talk to Beth in person when I see her, then I can gauge the appropriate time to bring it up, because we'll just just already be talking and it won't distract me from whatever I'm already doing.
Right. And honestly, this is something that I think like is like probably I think it's probably the key difference in our two personalities is like, I think that I am highly distractible by like any shiny object that happens to be like floating across the screen or whatever, yeah. which, you know, I say shiny object, but what I mean is like if a notification pops up or whatever, usually I will stop what I am doing, like work related wise, and go and like, you know, like tinker with whatever the notification is and then come back to it. Whereas I think you're able to like dial in on the specific activity that you're doing and like you'll work on it for like an hour and a half. And then like afterwards you're like, no, so what did I miss? Oh, wow. A lot, you know, or like, right. You know, and like, I think sometimes that ends up being like the key differences. But then on the flip side, I feel like from these like off the shoot communication standpoints, I think sometimes like you're a little bit more behind, but then way more ahead on your otherwise productivity of the day.
Sure.
Like the key objective that you were working on got a lot more done a lot faster, while all the like smaller, you know, like subsection activities of the day,
right,
were less attended to in the meantime, which is not a bad thing. I think, yeah, it's just literally like, you know, I am almost always like, you know, if I'm, you know, in the midst of sculpting a statue on the weekend, you know, of,
yeah,
you know, my life's work or whatever,
yeah,
and get a text message about whether or not I want to have pizza for dinner that night, it's like, oh, I should probably go and like figure out which pizza I want for dinner tonight.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you're right, though. I think this is very much like the way my personality works, especially around getting things done. Like if I'm in the middle of doing something, I do not like to be distracted from doing that thing because it is like so much harder to get back to doing that thing.
Right.
Like, and this happened, this is like even like a thing that like, just, I think one of the things that like the way in which Beth and I communicate is often this is like one of my, like if I just went like out to the fridge in the garage to go get like drinks for dinner or something.
Right.
And like, whilst I'm in the middle of like, if I independently decide to go do that and whilst in the middle of it, like Beth asked me like, can you take out this trash? It'll be like, I'm in the middle of something. You know? Right. Like, excuse me.
Yes,
but I didn't announce it, but I am already doing something. Of course, I would never say that out loud or anything, but this is like those are the sort of things where it's like, I'm already doing something. Or if I'm, or if she did ask me to go get drinks for the table, I was like, I go to do it. And she's like, can you take out this trash? I'd be like, What? You already asked me to do something. Let me finish.
Right, yeah. Right. It's like what, one thing at once, please?
One thing at a time. He's like, and it's like, it sounds so stupid, but it's like, the solution is just to add the words, when you're finished with that, first.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
It's like, you know, because I will take with the newest information as like a do it now kind of thing.
Right.
You know, like, yeah, even like the other day we had like a light bulb going out in the kitchen. She was like, I think it was like just in the middle of the morning, and she just like looked up and noticed. I was like, can you change that light bulb? And I'm like packing a lunch right now, but I guess, you know. She's like, no, not right now, just at some point. And I'm like, okay.
You know. Okay, I gotta ask you about the light bulbs in, yeah, your house. Were they all changed on the same day and then methodically used for the same amount of time? Because in addition to the light bulb out in your kitchen, we, yeah, were having a live stream the other day, which happened to be like the night before Halloween.
Dude.
And in the backdrop of your shot was this like extremely eerie light flicker.
It was such an extremely eerie light flicker. I don't know what the light fixtures in my basement, how they utilize light bulbs, but they must be so inefficient because I feel like I've changed them all like a bunch, and it's like the same light bulbs I put in other places in the house. And it's like, I don't know why the ones in the basement just like they just go out a lot faster, and it's super annoying.
No, I,
but like, cause like you saw the flickering one. If you also notice on that hangout, the light in the room I was in was turned off because it was flickering before the call started.
I did see that as well. I did see that as well. So I was like, man, what is going on in Jay's house and all the light bulbs all at the same time on the eve of Halloween?
I know. I mean, I guess it makes sense that you'd think like all the light bulbs in a single area would sort of fail at the same time because
they're all being
like,
used, you know, at the same time.
Whenever the lights were installed, they all would have been installed at the same time.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know what's going on. So I got to change a bunch of light bulbs all over the house. It's so annoying. I have like, there's...
Because you're going to get drinks, obviously.
I'm already in the middle. So I wouldn't even mind changing the light bulbs, except that there's like I need like six different kinds of light bulbs to change the house. Like,
I get that.
You know, like the recessed lighting has a certain kind, and like the kind that sits over the dining room table has a certain kind, and the kinds in the bathroom are a different shape, and the ones that go in the ceiling are a different shape. And it's like, and then, you know, you'll be out of just one kind, and then you got to order that on Amazon, and that's a few days to get there. And yeah, anyway, light bulbs. Annoying.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the hues for me. That's what I always struggle with.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's the other thing. It's like I can figure it out, but then I got to go like get the ladder just to go look at the existing light bulb so that I can, or like, you know, if it's something that's underneath like a piece of glass,
right?
It's like, okay, now I got to go unscrew it and figure out, look at the dead light bulb to make sure I have the correct replacement light bulb style. And it's like, and then if I don't, then I have to replace the glass fixture and like which is all for nothing then. Then I'm going to have to do that whole process again when the light bulbs come 2 days from now. And yeah, anyway, light bulbs,
home ownership, good times.
Home ownership, the bane of my existence.
Yeah. Okay. So we touched on Halloween, which I feel like is something we have to discuss because it was a fun year. It was Addison's first ever. Well, I mean, she has existed through this would be her third Halloween.
Yeah.
To have been, you know, alive for, but right. The first one she was 5 days old.
Yeah.
And the second one
didn't really take it in.
Yeah, a year and 5 days old.
Right.
And then this year she was 2 years and 5 days old.
Yes.
Which, as it turns out, is approximately how many days old it is required for someone to be capable of trick-or-treating.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because the twins are 3 this year, and I remember last year they were pretty gung-ho about it.
Yes.
As well. They definitely made it a lot further this year and were much faster about it. But yeah, I remember at 2, them like getting the hang of it quick.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And it was really funny because we dressed up as characters from Frozen.
Nice.
So I was Kristoff, Allie was Anna, and Addie was Elsa.
Nice.
And I mean, it was just the cutest, most adorable little thing because even like the 2T sized like Elsa costume at Allie had to hem.
Oh.
So like it hovered like 1 inch above the ground and like just the most adorable, like almost like straight out of an animated movie way that you could imagine.
Excellent.
Which was just absolutely killing me. But all like for the past month, we've had such a busy month of October. It's been pure madness. Literally my birthday came and went, and it was kind of like just one of those things where it was like that literally like I would say more than any other year for my entire life, it was quite literally just a day of the week.
Right.
Like nothing extraordinary happened. We had a frozen pizza for dinner. Mm-hmm. Like it was not a day at all. And I would fault nobody for it. We were just flat out busy.
Yeah.
There was just a lot going on. But so Allie had been anxiously anticipating the prospect of Addison going trick-or-treating. And I was like, Al, this is like, I don't know what you're expecting out of her, but like, she's so small. Like she, you know, she's not going to know how all of this works or like understand like how to like walk up. And I was like mildly fearful, I guess, of like all of the,
you Halloween. Were afraid.
I was afraid.
Well, there you go.
There it is.
There it is.
Okay. My anticipation was that Addie would be afraid of the Halloween decorations.
I see.
You know, because like some of them are quite extravagant and yeah. Oftentimes like people on our street, you know, to great effect dress up in costume to hand out candy as well. Like they're not just like sitting there and like whatever they went to work in that day or something.
Right.
They're in costume and sometimes like kind of spooky costumes.
Right.
There's also lots of people walking. There's just a lot going on. So I like my hopes for this were kind of like on the lower end of the spectrum. I was like, I don't personally feel like she is at the stage yet where this is going to be a like a success.
Yeah.
But the other thing was that Addie had never had candy before.
Oh, wow.
So she's had like a piece of like something that is sweet. She's had like cake, you know, or like,
yeah.
Pops. Like if you go through like the drive through at Starbucks or something, we usually get her a cake pop and she loves those. So she,
oh, yeah.
It's not like she's never had like sweets before, but she'd never had a piece of candy before. So before we left, you know, we're all getting excited and we like let her have like one of these like really small little like Kit Kat bite type things or whatever,
mm-hmm.
to which, you know, you could like see the sugar hit her eyes.
Like, yeah.
You know,
it's like, she's like,
like, okay, this is a good thing.
What's this?
So, you know, we get out there and we like immediately go to our next door neighbors who we're, you know, we're friends with and stuff. So like, you know, it's like, this is like a very soft environment to do this because it's people we know. And like, they're like, you know, extremely like, you know, patient with like the smaller, you know, Addie and her friend, like being smaller and kind of like working their way up and stuff.
Yeah.
But like she figured it out. essentially right away.
Right.
Like, you know, she walks right up and she's like super excited, and she, you know, she can't really say trick or treat, but she, you know, like sort of says like her version of, you know,
right,
treat.
Yeah, treat.
But then she's really good about saying thank you. So everybody, yeah, tatu, yeah, thank you. So she was really good about, like, you know, taking her piece of candy and then like looking up at the person and be like, thank you. And then she'd like look at, you know, Allie, and she's like, thank you. Like, yeah, thanking everybody.
Very good, very good.
Yes. But the hilarious thing was that she now knows that candy is prized.
Yeah.
And so, like, as we're going down, we're pulling him in a wagon, her and her friend. And so, like, you know, we get to in front of each house. We're like, yes, want to get out? And Addie was like, yeah. And so, you know, you get her out, and she like waddles up and like does her little thing. But she is like, I am not parting with my candy for anything.
Yeah.
Like, this is prized goods that we have going on, yeah, right now. So, like, she's got her bag on her shoulder, which she is important to her to carry, you know,
yeah,
like, is this, and it's like, you know, this big holographic, like, recycled used, like, bag that Allie gives to customers at Nude.
Yeah.
You know, for like, for, you know, bringing in, that way they always have the same bag to use. So it's like way oversized for her. So it's comically large and she's holding it. She wants to hold it, but she does not want to part with her candy. So she's got like six pieces of candy in both hands,
yeah,
and she's like, going up and like literally, yeah, like
no way to like hold more.
Yeah. It's like watching like her mental gymnastics go through of like, I'm not letting it go. I'm not letting it out of my sight. Yeah. I was like, it's like, Addie, you can put it in the bag. And she's like, no.
Mm-mm.
Like,
No.
I'm not letting this go.
Yeah.
So like, you know, she's like, but then, you know, she gets up there and she's trying to like hold all six pieces in like one hand and like reach in and grab the other piece. And then she drops a piece on the ground.
Yeah.
And it was, the whole experience was just absolutely adorable and amazing. And she did so great. So Addie's first year of trick or treating, like,
bravo.
I mean, she probably made it to 20 houses.
That's,
I was
amazing.
Like, this is not what I expected at all. So
nice.
She has her own little stash of candy, but we had to cut her off hard because she would have eaten just flat out.
Oh, that is the thing when you're then a parent and you suddenly have to like almost like police the candy intake afterwards.
Yes.
Like, I don't know. I don't remember like at any age, like mom and dad doing that to us. So part of me thinks that like at some point, like I always remember just coming back and just having a giant bag of candy,
yeah,
to eat, you know, at your own pace, whenever you wanted.
And yeah, like maybe this is like one of those things, like where as kids, like one, either we're just remembering experiences from once we were older where, yeah, trading candy the next morning really became,
oh,
like,
yeah, that's, you know, the best.
The best. Yeah. So, yeah, like, you know, we would like, we would use pillowcases. So we would go and like dump all of our pillowcases on the floor and like sort them into like little piles of, you know, like the Snickers and Reese's and Smarties and all the rest or whatever. And then I'm like, okay, I'll give you three Smarties for your Reese's or whatever. You,
right,
know, worst trade ever.
Yeah.
Who never let go of a Reese's?
That's, I
like,
know.
You know, that's like pride.
For three Smarties? Come on, man.
I know, yeah, come on.
Let's get a Snickers out of that.
Right, right. But yeah, so I'm right there with you. I don't remember. The other thing I remember as a kid that always seemed like a really, really, really like big PSA was taking your candy home and like letting your parents check it first to make that like it was safe.
Right.
But that's also one of those things where it's like, I have literally no idea if like maybe what was happening is you would come home, mom and dad would like take the candy. I don't know what they would be doing to check it, but just making sure that it seemed like pre-packaged and not like opened or something like that. But like, I have no idea if like then maybe mom and dad were just giving us back our candy, but at a much smaller volume than we gave it to them.
I don't remember that ever being checked at all myself.
Okay. Yeah. I can't say I remember our teachers telling us that we were supposed to do this the day of Halloween. Mm. Like it was like a big thing. Like, don't forget, you know, have your parents check your candy. You know, and it was, so I can't remember mom and dad ever actually doing it. But anyway, that was like the one possible that I would have is like, were we only handed back like a small portion?
Oh, I don't think so. I remember I remember us being extremely efficient trick or treaters.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah,
going around like and hitting, you know, 200 houses.
Yeah.
And having just a like a metric buttload of candy.
Yes.
Yeah. That was my recollection. And that's like even when I think back to that, it was like the gamification of getting the most amount of candy was like almost as exciting. It was almost more exciting to me than like eating the candy.
Oh yes. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It was like how many houses can we get to? How big a pile can we make? That's the real goal,
right? You know? Like when your bag starts getting like heavy to the point where it's like encumbering your ability to move, it's like, oh, this is,
oh, we're doing it.
We are well underway this year.
I know. So like part of me, you know, like when, you know, part of me is so excited for the, like, I know, I feel like that day is going to come for Nick and Nate and Luke, where they're just like, because right now they all did pretty great this year, especially Nick. I'll just give him a shout out. He like was on it. They dressed up as Nick was Mario, Nate was Luigi, and Luke was Pikachu.
Okay.
Yeah. And then me and Beth dressed as Bowser and Peach, which was just super fun. Really great like family costume going on there.
Love it.
But yeah, we started walking around and it was like, it was so, it's always interesting to see like the way their different personalities play out. Cause like Nick was the most all in on Halloween of any of them. So like they were dressed as the Mario brothers. Nick, you know, like we had, and they dressed up a few times for like various things, you know, whether it was like going to school dressed up in your costume or going to like this fall festival at like Luke's school or, and then trick or treating. And like Nick hands down would always like, he wanted the whole costume on. He wanted to wear the hat. He wanted to put the mustache on. He was all in.
Right.
Whereas like Nate would be like, he'd be excited enough to, you know, be wearing the Luigi overalls, but like hat, no way.
Not happening.
You know, mustache, forget it. Like I'll do some of it. So he managed to get the hat on for actual trick or treating, but we never got to full mustache.
Okay.
And then Luke, you know, had just has his own thing, because originally he was going to be Yoshi, so we'd all be Mario characters.
Right. Right. I was like, one of these things is not like the rest. I know.
Yeah. So then he was like, I want to be Pikachu, and then which was fine too. And he was pretty good. He wore his like little like Pikachu hat, which has like the ears and stuff on it the whole night. So that was good. But like then we start trick or treating, and it is like Nick would like, he would sprint to the next house. You know, you have to be like keeping up with him because he was like, oh, next house. He'd be like, that house, can we do that house? And you know, right. He would run around, and then Nate would, you know, he'd be pretty close behind, but he would be more like, yeah, I'll walk with mom and dad and we'll get there when we get there. And then Luke would be like, I want you to walk with me to the door and go through the entire process with me all the time. Whereas like I could have just like meandered down the street and let Nick go like, you know, like back out, and forth.
Out,
yeah.
In, out,
yeah. In, out, in, out, in, out. So it's so interesting to see how like all three of them sort of approach it just a little bit differently.
Yes. No, yeah. That it's super interesting because yeah, I mean like, and that's like the thing too, is like, I remember as a kid, and again, this is like where I can't tell if it's just like when we were like 8, 9, 10, 11, you know, like whatever,
yeah.
Like in our older years doing these particular things that it was kind of like, okay, like it's on,
yeah,
you know,
oh, it's like, on, right. Yeah. That like it's what are we, can we start yet? Cause I think I see people walking out there.
Right.
We start now, we can go later, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, wait, but like, especially in our childhood home, I feel like the block that we existed around, I think it was like 6/10 of a mile or 8/10 of a mile or something like that. Like to go like the full absolute, yeah, like circuit or whatever. And I feel like what the goal was to almost like have done like a lap and then like, can we go back around again?
Yeah, just do
like,
it again.
Yeah. It's like, what will they remember me, Darth Vader?
Yeah, right. There's like this unwritten rule that you can only hit one house once, you know, and like, and you know, they would just not give you candy. It's like, if you're the one giving out candy, like I, on the other end of that, like if the same kid came back 3 hours later, one, unlikely that I would remember. And two, I'd still just give them candy.
Yeah, right. You know? Absolutely. No, the bigger dilemma for me this year was like, you know, Al and I both wanted to go with Addie, and then we were like, but then our house is unmanned, you know,
yes.
Like, and so that like then you sort of are in like this weird position where it's like, I don't want to be the house that's not giving out candy or participating, but then also like I want to go participate, like,
exactly,
with, you know, with Addie.
Yeah.
So but what's interesting about that for me this year was like, I feel like there was this like kind of contagious enthusiasm. So like decorating for holidays is not something I'm especially good at doing. Like, mm-hmm, we do a Christmas tree, we have like stockings that we hang, you know, over like our gas fireplace and stuff like that. We have like a small handful of like ornaments that go out for like, you know, the various holidays of the year and stuff like that. But it's like, it's stuff that could fit like probably into like 2 shoeboxes,
yeah,
you know, for the most part, like with the exception of like some of the Christmas stuff where like it just physically is larger,
yeah.
But like we don't do a lot for each of the holidays or like take the time to go and like set everything out and then like pull it back in, and like especially like whenever I go to like Lowe's or Home Depot and you see like all of like the, you know, the inflatable things that can go out in the yard, mm-hmm, or like the giant, I have my skeletons. Okay, so
yeah, you have your skeletons.
I'll backtrack a little bit. I do my skeletons that usually are like enacting something.
Yeah, but which, those are year round.
We typically will go and like have those out for like a variety of different things, or like change like what they're doing, or like, you know, put a Santa Claus hat on for you know, like the holidays or something like that. But like even that I always find to be like fairly minimal effort on the whole. And it, like, if anything, I both simultaneously feel like I'm overachieving and drastically underachieving in like this weird position at once.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, at least I was clever with something, but it's not like my whole house exudes Halloween.
Yeah.
You know, or like, you know, covering the bushes and like the stretchy kind of like spider
web stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And but like, so I will say in where I live, I am not on like the prominent side of the neighborhood, because if you go like three streets down from me, the city closes the streets.
Wow.
Like it is full blown, and like those houses go all out.
Nice.
Like the number of houses that had like the chute thing, like, you know, where there's like a big PVC pipe where like you would stand on one end of it and like the people would be up on their porch on the other and like drop the candy through, and you know, it's delivered into their hand and stuff like that. Like a bunch of houses had those.
Wow.
And I was like, man, these people are, I mean, and there was lights, there was decorations, there was inflatables, like, you know, houses would have like these two windows in like the top where they would have like TVs that were both showing like eyes that were like shifting about, like looking at like the trick or treaters coming in, people playing music. Like I was like, man, okay. I always felt like I was going out all out if I put like a fog machine outside.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like even the fact that I require the kids to come up to my door and knock, it's like most of these people are outside waiting with a table, chairs, fire pit. Like,
yeah, they're ready to go.
They're ready to go. I'm like, it is insufficient that I am like requiring people to come to the door, knock on the door.
Right.
Like, I'm like, which never occurred to me before. I was like,
there is a large amount of, even in my neighborhood, yeah, there's a large amount of people who are just like, the act of hitting the doorbell or like knocking on the door and making someone come to the door was like a lot. It wasn't zero, but a lot of people are just like outside waiting.
Yes.
Like there to give you the candy, or, you know, it's like, but my neighborhood's also, it's like, it's such high traffic volume. It's like, if you were going to go inside and try and sit down and do anything besides entertain trick-or-treaters, you like, forget it. No chance.
Precisely.
You're gonna be up every 3 seconds.
You're exactly right. Like, and so when I'm handing out candy, usually it's just sort of like you just sort of like stand near or by the door. Usually we'll have like a Halloween movie playing or something like that, so you're sort of like half tuned into the movie, halfway handing out candy and stuff like that. But anyway, so I feel like coming out of this though, I was like, man, next year I might be in on this.
Oh, you're motivated.
Like, I was like
going,
man,
full haunted house, man.
Yeah, because I even feel like my house sort of like, it's like a Tudor style home, so it sort of
make it creepy, no doubt. Yeah.
Like it's got like the like quasi,
you could get some like gargoyles or something.
Ooh, yeah. So anyway, yeah. So next year I feel like I might like really put some energy into that and try to just have like really bring some prom. Cause I also feel like, because I'm on like the primary corner as you like enter the whole neighborhood in the first place, similar to you actually. It's almost like, I feel like I can like set the tone for my whole street.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, because my street is not like really like the trick or treat street. It's like, like I said, it's down the way. It's like, what do I have to do in order to encourage all my neighbors to like, I want our street closed. That's what I
want. Right. Yeah.
Like that's the standard we're trying to set over
here.
This is
what we want. We got to outdo those guys three streets down.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's on. So anyway, I felt this is so cool. Like whenever I go into like the stores that when I see all these decorations, I'm like, who does this? Like, you know, like, which, not that I'm actually being that superior. Most of the time I'm just sort of like, I don't even know where I would store these things, you know. There's like the 13 foot tall skeletons they have now, which I love.
Yeah, but I'm
like,
those are pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's nice when a whole street does it, because there's plenty of like houses in my neighborhood where you can tell like one-off houses will be like really into it.
Yeah.
Or like you're walking down there and like every now and then it'd be like, oh yeah, this person's having like a full-on party with a pit, and they've got coolers, and there's, you know, people milling about, and
right.
But you know, it's just like there's like tiny pockets of it. It's not like a full-on street celebration.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. So anyway, that's where my head's at going into
next year. Start planning now.
Yeah, absolutely.
You want like a candy chute? No, you have to walk through like a terrifying chute of horrors to get to my door.
No, I do like the idea of a candy chute though. Yeah. I feel like that it seems like a fun one. I also have very precarious front steps that I'm sometimes worried the kids are gonna fall off of. So,
sure. Yeah. You're afraid of that? Yeah.
dang it. I worry that some kid will fall off of it. That's it. Nah, yeah. I just don't want anybody to get hurt.
Yeah.
That's it. Thank you for pointing that out there. I appreciate it. Now the new fun game. Ben's afraid of everything. Here we go. As I'm trying to talk about having a spooky Halloween house.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm trying to scare people.
Yeah, scaring myself, really.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Jeez. I know. My goodness.
Oh, man. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of the Pog at Pop. As ever, if you would like to support the show, we have a really fun piece of quarterly merch for Q4 of 2023, which is going to be this rocks glass that has like the D20 like melted right into the side of it. It'll have a popcorn culture logo on the front, and will also come with a digital download for a new episode of Dungeons and Dragons, including everybody here in office, which we're super excited to record. It's a brand new one compared to last year. If you got last year's, should be a hootin' and hollering good time. Mm-hmm. That's gonna be available at patreon.com/popcorn culture. But otherwise, until next time,
pop pop.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.